Steve, thanks very much. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Paul Lisnick joins us right now to talk about last night's State of the Union address.
Oh, that was on?
That was on last night.
And the Hawks?
Yep.
And the getting ready to win the Powerball?
All in one night.
Too much in one night, Paul.
And what were you guys watching? Which one?
Blackhawks. Sorry.
Paul, I'm a bad American. I was playing tennis last night. Came back. I know. And then I watched some clips of it, but
I didn't get to see. You made me feel so guilty that I was going to watch the Blackhawks,
and you
were going to sit there watching the State of the Union.
I feel bad. I'll watch the next
one. Well, I covered the State of the Union, so you didn't have to.
You're the best.
Thank you, Paul.
You're a good man, Paul. What did we miss? Give us some highlights.
Well, we're attacking Russia. No, I'm kidding. Here's what the president didn't do. He did not set out an agenda of all sorts of legislative priorities he has. And he even said at the beginning, he said, I'm not going to do that. He said, because I know a lot of you are all ready to get back to Iowa, which got a chuckle from the crowd.
Right.
He knows he's in a presidential year. He knows he can't accomplish anything. I wouldn't mind anything much. I thought what was really sort of historic and different was he spent the last good portion of the address talking about the dysfunction in Washington and the partisan politics. Very unusual for a president to address it in a State of the Union, but it really does define the problems he has had throughout the course of his entire presidency and why he could not accomplish more.
And Paul,
I think part of bringing it up was to basically say, let's hope a future president doesn't face this.
The interesting part of that is you're doing it in a room filled with the people that you're criticizing. Right?
Well, it's the best place to do it, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so.
Think about it. But you're also doing it in a place where there's some sort of expectation of decorum. And so, it's not like a rally or anything like that where there's going to be screaming and yelling, though he's faced a little of those comments over the years. But basically, this was his podium and his chance to say what he had on his mind.
I know there's been some criticism because as far as last night's speech went, he painted America as being in a pretty good place right now. And there's a lot of people who say he was kind of over-glorifying the country, was he?
Well, you got to pick your topic on that, Bill. So, for example, he basically gave a very positive view of the economy and the economic situation. And I think there's a fair amount of evidence to support, and he gave some stats and statistics that support what he's saying. The Republican view would be it's not true, things are terrible, and people don't have the kinds of jobs that they want. But I think he was in a stronger position to talk about that than when he started speaking very strongly about the state of the country in terms of terrorist attacks, those kind of things, when he said the right words. America is the strongest power on this planet, period. I mean, he said very strong language that Democrats love to hear. Republican sense of this was the guy is out of touch with reality. Things are not good. They're not strong. So he probably faced more of a challenge to the veracity of what he was saying when he talked about his view of the foreign policy component than perhaps the economic view.
How do you think, I mean, right now he does have a year left, and as you pointed out, his hands are tied, although many people have said his hands have been tied for the last 7 years, so having his hands tied isn't the newest thing for him. But how do you think in 10 years, in 20 years, in 30 years, people will look back at his presidency?
Well, you know, interestingly, one of the things he did say at the beginning of the address was, I'm not talking about this year. I want to talk about the next 5 years, the next 10 years. So he is thinking about not only the legacy, but the direction the country goes in the coming years. You don't get a perspective on a president's presidency until you're about 20 years out. So it's 20 years from now, you guys will still be hosting this show.
Sure.
I'll come on with you.
All right.
And when we look back at him, my personal sense will be, and this is I try and say this from a neutral perspective, because Republicans will say he's going to go down as one of the worst ever, and Democrats will say one of the best ever. I think he will be seen very positively by history, because the Health Care Act, which I think no matter what they're talking about is not going to go anywhere, is going to be as critical to our society as Social Security and Medicare. It's got problems, but I don't think it's going anywhere. And his efforts that have produced same-sex marriage and some of these other things, I mean, and gays in the military, those kinds of issues, and I can say others. These are things that there is a lot of disagreement about, and a lot of folks who are against the policy. That's not my comment. My comment is he will be looked back on as history as a period of time in which significant major changes happened to us as a society and to our living as Americans, whether you like them or whether you don't. It's going to stand up as credit to his administration.
I agree wholeheartedly. I think that is a great assessment of, you know, years down the road, how we're going to look back at him. And I, you know, believe he seemed like a man who had a heart, who really tried to do things. He did get some things done. The biggest criticism I'm hearing from everyone is that we're not fighting back terrorism as hard as we should or could. What are we supposed to do? Just annihilate every...
No, and he addressed that, but one of the things that I think that, and that's why I said he was a bit, you know, that's a little more questionable in terms of what he talked about. Remember, he's the same president who said that ISIS was the JV team, right? So he clearly misjudged them or underestimated them earlier on, and now his strong language gives some people pause to say, really, why did you misjudge the nature of the threat? But clearly now he does understand the nature of the threat. By the way, a couple of other things. People raise the question, why didn't he bring this little brief Iranian crisis that we had, right, of our sailors being taken hostage, not even hostage because they're already released, but for whatever happened last night. And the bottom line was, for him to talk about that last night, which some people said he should have, you can argue he should have, but in the State of the Union, it would have elevated that situation to a State of the Union level.
Yeah.
And the truth is, we have to believe the administration already had that situation under control. And the proof is, it by the time I woke up this morning, which was early, they were already released.
And this happened in the Persian Gulf, where I believe 10 of our
sailors
were taken hostage, but they were released, as you mentioned, early this morning.
And, you know, some people can raise the question, if we weren't talking to Iran and having some agreement, might this be in a different situation right now? I don't know, and Democrats and Republicans will differ on that. The other thing I thought was really interesting, by the way, clearly he never mentioned the name Donald Trump, but he might as well have, because he had a strong message on, you know, respecting people's backgrounds and religions and all of that.
Yeah.
So that was clear in his address. And then, of course, Nikki Haley, who gave the Republican response. I was halfway through, and I was sitting with Mark Sapelta and Michael Matera, and I said, is she responding to Obama or is she responding to Trump? Because a good portion of her address were all of these Trump issues. So another thing you take out of last night is really how Donald Trump seems to be setting the stage for what the national discussion is right now. And not only are the Democrats aren't happy about it, which should be no surprise in terms of what Trump is saying, but you now see establishment Republicans. And Nikki Haley is no liberal Republican.
Right.
I mean, she's pretty conservative. And here she is basically saying, even as a conservative Republican, this is going too far, and let's pull it back. So Trump was sent a strong message. History would also show us, based on when that he gets attacked like that, expect his poll numbers to rise.
I always think that the hardest role in one of these State of the Union addresses is that of the Speaker of the House. So you have Paul Ryan there sitting next to our vice president, sitting next to Joe Biden. And it was in my head, I kept playing back as I was watching the clips last night and again this morning, how those guys went at each other during the vice presidential debates, you know, about 4 years ago. But you have to act as though you're supporting the president, but at the same time, there has to be a glint of, but I'm kind of on the other team on a lot of these issues. What did you think of Paul Ryan's performance, in quotes, last night?
It's a great question, because Paul Ryan addressed it earlier. Paul Ryan says he wears his heart on his sleeve, and he knows that whenever the camera showed him in previous State of the Union addresses, you'd see his negative nod or whatever he was doing. He now understood that as Speaker of the House, he's behind the president, he's on camera 100% of the time during the address, and he knows people are looking for his reaction. So he was very cognizant of not sending reactions, and so as a result, because I'm going to cut him a break on this, because he truly tried to sit there and send no cues. We all saw cues. He's smug. He's smirking.
Yeah.
He's doing all that. And the truth is, I think Paul Ryan would say, I wasn't doing any of that. I was trying not to. So I'm going to cut him a break and say that his effort to send no cues, I think, may be getting misread as what message was he trying to send, because he was very conscious about trying not to send messages.
Interesting. Normally with one of these, what happens is immediately thereafter, and you hit on this a little bit already, Paul, everybody on the Democrat side, or the majority of them, say, yeah, the president did a nice job last night. And most of the people on the Republican side said, yeah, there are a lot of holes in that speech. What was the reaction immediately after and again this morning?
Well, you know, we weren't off set yet, and already the responses or the reactions were coming from presidential candidates. John Kasich sending an immediate release, which said, when I'm giving my eighth, address to Congress.
Yeah.
I'm going to be pointing to, and he went on to talk about, I'm going to point to a strong government and a strong military and all these things. Like, well, yeah, that's what everybody has to say, right?
Yeah.
You know, the bottom line is, if you look at much of what the president said, if you were able to say, without knowing who said it, just read his speech, and you put your own candidate in there. You can say Trump said it. You can say Hillary. So whoever you want to put in is saying it. The truth is, I think the president's words were very strong and very powerful, and it was overall a very effective address. Where you start to veer away from that is when you start recognizing who's saying that comment. If you're a Republican, you absolutely think I'm already wrong. If you're a Democrat, yes, Paul, you're really right on. My comment, again, I'm neutral on the air, and I attempt to look at these things neutrally. If you just read his speech as it stood and didn't know who said it, it'd be a very impressive State of the Union address with some historic points to it, like the need for Congress to get along and play well in the sandbox with each other.
I told you they should have the band Europe doing the final countdown in the background, that song. It's a final countdown, because he did a decent job for his last State of the Union of his presidential career.
And the last time, Wendy, that he's ever going to likely, unless, God forbid, some kind of crisis happens, the last time he's ever going to have an audience this big in terms of the country watching.
Sure.
So it was a swan song in that respect. And by the way, do you know that the White House chose to stream that address on Snapchat? Wendy, you and I are always going back and forth on Snapchat.
Yes, we are.
and also on Amazon Prime. So this is a White House so cognizant of young people and getting young people involved, which, as you look forward, is probably a good thing for Bernie Sanders on the Democratic side and some of the younger candidates on the Republican side. Young people needing to get involved and making a difference in elections. The White House was trying to reach them last night.
Paul, do you think any of this will come up on Politics Tonight later on at 5:30 and then again at 10 p.m.? Do you think you'll talk about any of this tonight?
I do know whatever comes up at 5:30 will also come up at 10 o'clock because it's going to be a repeat.
Right.
But
right.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be looking at this. We're also going to be taking a look at city council meetings today and some of the happenings in Springfield. And I hope you all got a chance to watch my cover package on WGN the other night, which was a look back at Bruce Rauner's first year and all that got accomplished in Springfield.
Excellent.
And if you haven't, I definitely, because, wow, that was a quick year.
It really was. Hey, no, that's online. I hope people do check it out. That, too, is meant to be kind of a fair and balanced piece, if you will, about what he's accomplished and what Rauner's had to face as well.
Can I ask you, since you brought that up, Paul, very, very quickly, I don't remember an Illinois governor criticizing a Chicago mayor as much as we've heard Rauner do about our mayor in the past week or 10 days or 2 weeks. Is it unusual to have a governor be that critical of a Chicago mayor?
Well, I can't. Here's the thing. Mayor Daley Sr., some of those Mayor Daleys, you wouldn't have had governors going after them because the mayor was more powerful than the governor.
Yeah.
But what I will say is what we're seeing now in terms of the dynamics of Springfield, I will say the state has never seen this kind of situation before, not for this protracted a period of time. And the real unfortunate part, and what I say at the end of the piece, is do not expect this to get resolved before March,
right?
Because at this point people are playing out the primaries, they're not going to commit to anything, and you might even need to wait until November, because remember, Madigan thinks the state is behind him and Rauner thinks the state is behind him. They may truly play this game of chicken unless budgets force them to say we're out of money in certain places, which is already happening, but until November, when essentially people vote and decide who is it, what direction do we want to take as a state.
An unbiased view, Paul Lisnick, political analyst for WGN-TV and CLTV. It's so hard to say unbiased, isn't it? I mean, really.
I really do my best. You know, here's the thing. No matter what I say, you get the emails, people hear me saying things I'm not saying, or they say, I know what you are. I've been called conservative. I've been called liberal. I'm attacked from all ends no matter what I say. I really do my best to try and see things from all perspectives, the right, the left, and do my best to present it as neutral. Because I want people to make up their own minds,
of course,
about what this is.
Yep.
Sometimes it doesn't matter what you say. People hear what they hear.
Paul, thanks so much. We appreciate it. Have a great new year.
Thank you, Bill. You too.
All right, take care.
Thanks,
bye.
Paul. See you on Snapchat.
You guys go back and forth on Snapchat a lot.
Yeah, we do.
Sure. How could you not? We're going to take a break, and then we'll come back and talk about other things. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.